This is a WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Scott Walker.
Dr. Craig McCabe, local eye doctor in studio with us today. How are you this morning?
I am doing great, Scott. I hope you and everyone else out there had a nice, enjoyable, albeit warm weekend. It wasn't too overly hot, which was nice for the first and second weeks of July.
Definitely. And hopefully it'll, I don't know, cool off again. I don't see that coming, but
well, it is
maybe.
July. We are in Tennessee. So I think you can expect hot weather from here probably for at least a couple months. But, you know, enjoy it. This is a great time to get out and do all those things you've been wanting to do when it's been too cold. And you said, oh, it's too cold. I like the warmer weather. Well, here you go. Here it is. Get out. Get all your yard work done. And get out and enjoy it. Play all those sports you like to play and have a great time. And while you're doing the yard work, while you're playing your sports, make sure you've got your eye protection on. Even if it's as simple as a pair of sunglasses, then make sure you are wearing them, because you'll be so thankful that one time out of how many that something hits your face and maybe it bounces off of your glasses. And as I was weed whacking my yard, which really needed weed whacking, you know, I was reminded by that, because probably 1/100th of what hits my shins, something hits my face. And so I always make sure that I have some eye protection on.
And when getting out that old weed eater, that's a painful thing to do. I mean, if you're wearing shorts when you're doing it, it hurts there too.
Yeah, it stings. It makes you feel like you're alive.
That's right.
But then your yard look good afterwards.
It does. This time of year, I'm curious, do you have an influx in patients because of injuries due to fireworks and sparklers?
Yeah, well, I fortunately was not on call during this time this year. But the main culprits are kids that throw, and I hate to be ageist like that, people that throw firecrackers at each other, people that shoot bottle rockets at other, people that shoot Roman candles at each other, people who are lighting fireworks that the fuse has already burnt some and is way too short, or trying to get a dead firework lit. Those, of course, are not intelligent things to do. Still, they happen every year, and that's where the majority of the firework injuries come from. People will do silly things like that. They'll open champagne bottles, you know, not covering it and pointing it away from their face. That's another silly injury that doesn't need to happen. People will look into hoses, garden hoses,
with the water on.
But they're blocked by some dirt or something else, and all of a sudden it blows out and blows right into their eye. So never look into those things that can shoot back at you.
That sounds painful. You see memes or jokes about that around this time of year about people looking into garden hoses, and then it really happens.
It really happens, and it's one of those silly things that just shouldn't. Make sure when you're working on anything electrical, you flip the breaker or you unplug it. You know, you don't look into things that can have pressure behind it or that can shoot out at you. And these are just the things your mama told you when you were a young lad or lass.
That's right. That and you'll shoot your eye out with the old BB gun.
Oh, my gosh. You know, what's interesting is the way that we are built is we have this hard, bony, what's called orbital rim that surrounds our eye. And then our eye is sunken in deep to that. So if you get hit in the face with a basketball or a volleyball, it won't hurt your eye.
Yeah.
Because you hit that hard, bony protection that is in front of your eye. Well, now what happens if something comes at your eye that's smaller than that orbital rim around your eye? That's where you can have serious damages. And that's everything from racquetballs, pellet guns, BBs.
That would hurt, yeah.
You know, all these kind of things are definitely a necessary injury. And for those kind of activities, then you need to have the ANSI, the ANSI requirement for protection to your eyes from high velocity objects, which is much stronger. And that's why you see people wear those racquetball glasses. They don't have any lens in them. It's clear open, clear through. But what it does is it extends your orbital rim.
Oh.
Makes it a little bit smaller so that that racquetball hits it and doesn't go into your eye. You know, it used to be when we had the old-time airbags that were one-stage and not two or multi-stage airbags, there was tons of airbag injuries to the eyes because they blew up so fast right in people's faces, and it wasn't fully inflated by the time it hit their eye, and so it could go in past that orbital rim. But now we have the multi-stage airbags. They've fixed that, where it's much slower and the result of incidents of damage is much less.
So do you see that many BB gun injuries or, and things like that around the summertime when kids are out there playing?
Yes, every once in a while you do. But typically, since our emergency room is not a level one trauma center, they get referred immediately to Vanderbilt and others.
Okay. Yeah, I would say that would be pretty extensive damage because, I mean, your eye is so soft to get hit with something as small as a BB or a pellet. That could do some major damage.
Yeah, pellets, maybe not quite so much, although they do cause significant damage. But a BB to the eye, in most cases, is something that cannot be fixed and that eye will lose vision.
Yeah,
forever, unfortunately.
You know, I remember several years ago here at the station, we got a call from this man who said he was the victim of a drive-by shooting. And I'm thinking, wow, that's scary. And here in Murfreesboro. And so I asked a few more questions about it. Turns out it was a BB gun drive-by shooting. And I'm thinking, well, that's just weird. But teens do stuff like that. They don't think.
No, but you know, Scott, you and myself... and probably most of the other men out there, now I'm being sexist, is that, you know, we were stupid young boys, you know, and we did all kinds of stupid things where you're kind of testing the limits. And when you're young, you recover so fast and you're so strong and you're so malleable, pliable, flexible, right? How many of us can say that now? But back then we were, and so we bounced back from injuries, and we could take hard blows and get up and dust ourselves off and, you know, like they say in baseball, walk it off,
yeah.
Right? That
yeah.
was it. Now you get carried to the ER. But back then it was walk it off. So we did a lot of non-intelligent things back then, and luckily most of us survived with only minor damage, but some people still had permanent loss from various things. They got hurt doing these stupid things. And you still see them on all the videos, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All the videos. And, you know, kids, and it's mostly guys, are still doing the stupid things.
Very true. We had a question here from a listener. Yeah. And by the way, anybody who would like to ask a question regarding the eyes, feel free to text us 615-893-1450, 893-1450. This person said, over the weekend, I was watching TV and noticed that it was harder to watch TV than it used to be with bright spots in certain areas of my vision. What would that be? Bright spots in certain areas of their vision.
Wow. There's numerous things that it could be, but most commonly, it's an uncommon thing called ocular, orbital, eye, whatever have you, migraines. So there's different types of migraine headaches. If you have just the flashing lights, and usually they're colored jagged ones, but sometimes it can be dimming of vision, loss of half of vision, or dimming of all your vision significantly in one or both eyes, and it typically lasts 5 minutes to an hour, and then it goes away. That's typically what's called an ocular migraine. And then if you have a headache following it, well, then you've had the aura of a classic migraine. You've had the aura and then the migraineous headache following it. And then you can have just a common migraine, which is just the throbbing, usually one-sided migraine headache without the visual disturbance. And then you can have complicated migraines, which will last hours to days and may cause weakness in your arms or legs or on your face, but aren't a true TIA or stroke. So there's these different forms of migraines, and there's others I haven't mentioned, but those are the common categories. And oftentimes, just jagged bright flashing lights lasting 5 minutes to an hour without a headache is a common migraine. We have treatments for that in our office, but you should get an eye exam. Boom. You should get an eye exam because it could be flashing lights associated with a retinal detachment. And you say, well, I see fine. I feel fine. Well, yeah, in a retinal detachment, your eye sees fine and it feels fine until it gets significantly worse and then you lose your vision. But then your chances of vision recovery go down some. So you want to get those things fixed early on. Once again, a stitch in time, an ounce of prevention, all those things that we talk about is just good common sense.
A migraine doesn't necessarily have to have that headache portion of it to be a migraine.
Yes, yeah. So it's all based kind of on a standard migraine headache, which is where you have an aura preceding it and you're like, oh, and people out there right now are shaking their heads. Yep, that's when I know when one's coming on. Maybe they get wrenching in their gut, but oftentimes they'll see flashing lights, distortions in their vision, and then they know that coming in the next 10-20 minutes is going to be one of those headaches, and they need to get out their headache medicine.
It's wild that some folks, I guess, can feel a little, you know, a pre-jitter, if you would, a pre-sign of that headache to come.
An aura.
An aura.
Yes, that's what it's called, an aura. So it's not a absolute symptom, but when you get it, you know that usually following that is going to be a bad headache. And some people will get, you know, migraine headaches, their symptom strength is on a spectrum. So some people have a little bit. I get about 4 or 5 migraine headaches a year. And when I do, they'll last a few hours and then they usually go away. If I want it to go away sooner, I've got to take a pain pill. The regular medicines don't work that well on me. Regular medicines work well. And then some people get migraines so bad, they're like, you know, I've got to go in and lay down in a dark room and leave me alone for an hour. And so there's various intensities to it. And you should see your primary care and, if needed, a neurologist. And we have good medicines that most of the time make it much better.
Speaking of medicine, this person asked, does a medicine with caffeine added to it help more so for those migraines? And then I'm curious, does ibuprofen work better than, let's say, a Tylenol for headaches?
Boy, those are good questions. So the reason why caffeine is put in these migraine medicines, Excedrin Extra Strength Migraine Formula or whatever, the Tylenol or whatever those, is because it speeds up your blood flow. It speeds up your heart rate a little bit like caffeine does. It moves the medicine around faster and you get faster symptom relief. But consuming too much caffeine, it's a double-edged sword. It can also cause migraines, as well as chocolates, peanuts, red wine. You know, people that have these migraine episodes, they'll tell you what their triggers are and you have to stay away from those. And that's some of the best treatment. But, you know, getting a good night's rest, which sometimes I do, a lot of times I don't, but getting a good time, a good night's rest, trying to reduce stress in your life, those things all help as well, keeping your blood pressure and your cholesterol under good control.
Man, it seems like lowering stress levels, getting a good night's sleep, those two things are the remedy to so many problems.
Yeah, and I would like to also add into that weight loss. So getting, you know, pretty close to your BMI, and you can look that up. You can do a search what the BMI is for your sex, age. It'll tell you that. But, you know, I've lost a significant amount of weight. And before I did, all my numbers were going wrong. I was heading towards diabetes. I had high cholesterol and just lots of little things on my regular annual physical, which, by the way, everyone should get, is an annual physical with blood work. Once again, it absolutely doesn't matter whether you feel fine or are doing fine. You don't know when you have cancer. You can't feel it. You can't feel high cholesterol. Most times you can't feel high blood pressure, yada, yada, yada. You can't feel it. Most times your doctor doesn't know. They've got a differential diagnosis, and then they do exam and testing, you know, CT scans, blood work, MRIs, whatever, and then they've got it figured out, and they can tell you exactly what it is. So if your doctor doesn't know exactly what it is, just by hearing it and has to do testing to figure it out, there's no way you can know. And a lot of these things don't have any symptoms of pain.
Another question here. This person says, Dr. McCabe, I'd like to get your thoughts on our fast-growing city and if we have enough doctors to serve our population. And I guess that's just medical providers in general, because it doesn't really specify.
Yeah. Well, it's I can tell you in ophthalmology, because I know those stats, and that is we're supposed to be quite underserved in 10 to 20 years. And you know, in the other specialties, it may be probably especially the lower paying ones, primary care ones, pediatrics, things like that. And it's a shame in our country that the best and the brightest by majority are no longer going into medicine and medical research. And as a result, we've got more foreign grads, and we've got students that maybe weren't the brightest in their class going into medicine. Still lots of bright doctors, not saying that. It's just that it's kind of gone down. And then the service that they provide, I think, has gone down. Even though technology has increased, you know, your doctor's spending less and less time with you, it seems like, every few years when you go in. And that's because they're getting paid less and less by the government. And all their staff wants a raise every year. Just yeah. Like you would if you were working. And this equipment is horrendously expensive. You know, you've heard of, you know, back long ago, they'd talk about how much a hammer or a toilet seat is in the military. It's ridiculous. It's worse in medicine. It's worse. Most of the equipment in my office costs way more than a nice car does. And there's a lot of equipment that you need. And so it's crazy. And so in order to try to get that reimbursement, you know, you have to see more patients per day. And that's not good for anybody. So, I guess I'm a little bit of a curmudgeon on that, because I see that happen. And I'll ask my patient, I'll say, well, what'd your doctor tell you about? Oh, he didn't really say. He just said, you know, come back in a month and we'll look at it again or whatever. And they don't really know exactly what's going on with them or how well they're doing or if they're going to have problems or what their predicted outcome will be, all these kind of things. So I guess one of the ways you can get around this is have a list when you go in the doctor of all the little things and go over them. And the nurse will help you with some, and the doctor can help you with the others, but make the most out of your appointment.
That's a good idea. And you know, it seems like in general, we don't have that same customer service we used to overall. And I guess that goes right in line with, well, that's also true at some medical offices.
Yes, it is true. Now, I try to spend a significant amount of time with my patients, and oftentimes I will run late. But hopefully when you see me, you'll say, well, that was worth the wait, and I got all the information I need and the treatments I needed and should help me get better and all that. But you want to make sure you get the most out of that visit.
How important, hold on, let me back up just a second here. It says, how important is it to ask your doctor questions? I mean, I would guess pretty important, right? In
well,
general, again, yes.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't ask him what the meaning of life is, you know. But I would ask him, you know, if you're having any symptoms, what does he think is causing these symptoms? And what can be done to alleviate them or lessen them? So, you know, the things you go to a doctor for. And make sure you're getting all of your medical care that you need. And a lot of the very best medical care is testing for things when you have no symptoms, to catch them at their earliest stage when you have the best positive predictive outcome for, you know, getting over it, doing well, not losing function.
Dr. Craig McCabe is our guest today in studio, and Dr. McCabe's office is on Heritage Park Drive in Murfreesboro. And we had another question here, if I can find it again, or I may just have to give you the gist of it, but it basically asked, it said that their child was involved in outdoor sports and they practiced throughout the summer, and it was saying something to the effect of their son has been seeing what they called stars while running, doing the, I guess, running portion of whatever sport it is. How dangerous is that, and could that be related to the heat?
Dehydration. Does their tongue look dry? Skin on their hand when you pinch it up, does it zap right back down, or does it hang up there? You know, all the common signs of dehydration. Is their heart beating too fast? All these kind of things. I'll tell you, my son, Ryan, who I think is in about as good a physical shape as anybody I know, honest to God, because he plays soccer for hours every day. He teaches soccer. Soccer's his life. He loves soccer. And he's ripped, and he's well-built, and he's in great shape. And about 3 years ago, when during this very hot time, just like we're going to go into now, you know, right now it's in the coast. It hasn't really hit us yet, this real hot heat, but it's coming. Now, we got the hurricane coming up. That'll help cool it off. It'll be a tropical storm. But anyways, we will have those hot days. You got to make sure you stay hydrated. And you got to make sure you keep your core temp down. So if you're feeling very hot, clammy, your heart's pounding, your mouth is dry as can be, you need to sit down, have a drink in the shade, and get all those things back to normal. And it doesn't matter whether you're 5 years old or you're 85 years old. That's what you need to do. Boy, I'll tell you, in the summer, it's hard to drink too much water. It's hard to drink too much water. And one of the most common signs of the elderly with a change in mental status, falling down, these kind of significant issues, lots of times it's dehydration. Not always, but lots of times it is in this summertime heat. I like to get out and work in the garden, do all those things, and it's wonderful. I enjoy it too. Drink a lot of water before you go out. Drink a lot of water when you come in, and take some breaks and have some drinks of water in between. And, you know, water's great, and the water with electrolytes can be even better during these times.
So things like Gatorade, what should we do there? You know, not too much Gatorade, a little bit of Gatorade, or just look for added electrolytes in certain waters?
Yeah, I mean, I like the Propel brand, and lots of people like Gatorade. And there's several others out there, Smartwater, there's several others out there. And just find one that you really like the taste of, and then consume it, and you'll be better off.
This next question here has to do with vacation. It says we're about to take the kids on summer vacation, and I wanted to know how bad for them is the ocean water in their eyes, and how bad is chlorine in their eyes?
Well, it stings. Stings me. Makes my eyes red. I don't like it. Typically, typically the pool chemical people do those things on Monday, Tuesdays, because it's after the weekend, and those chemicals will dissipate some, you know, during the week. But if you go in right after they chlorinate, boy, it can really sting your eyes good. Does it cause damage to your eyes? I don't know if I've ever seen that. I'm sure if you get it too high, yeah, it can burn your eyes and be a chemical irritant, but that's very unlikely because, you know, of all the legalities of it. So, yeah, chlorine can get in your eyes, sting them, make them red. You know, some artificial teardrops to help dilute before or after. These are like Refresh, Sustain. There's a new one out that's preservative-free called Ivizia that I like. These are all over-the-counter, and I've got no monetary interest in any of them.
I'm not familiar with that. Ivizia?
Ivizia.
Okay.
Ibizia. We've used up for our medicines all of the regular English names in the dictionary, I believe. And so now we've got all these made up names that are crazy names. You know, it's like, and how do you pronounce that again? That we've all got to learn to pronounce.
Ivizia. And you can get that just the basic drugstore, grocery store?
It's right next to the Sustain and the Refresh. Theratears is another good one. I prefer the ones that are preservative-free when you're having issues. If it's just a routine daily maintenance, use once or twice a day. The bottles with the preservatives are fine. But you don't want to use preservative eye drops. Usually that's BAK, benzalkonium chloride. Those are not good to use four or more times every day because you'll get a chemical irritant, a chemical conjunctivitis. Your eyes actually get red from too much preservative.
And then while this person is thinking about vacation, what about protecting the eyes of youngsters, like with sunglasses? And at what age should you start doing that?
Yesterday. That's when you should have started doing it. UV damage is bad for everybody. UV damage is not good for anything unless you're trying to eradicate bacteria and sterilize something. So it's not a good thing. It causes skin cancer. It's thought that it builds up free radicals in our body, which causes advanced aging and all these kind of things. So yes, for females who may be thinking about it, you have much less crow's feet, those wrinkles around the eyes, if you wear sunglasses when you're outside, because you're not squinting. It's that muscular contraction around our face that causes the wrinkles. That's why Botox gets rid of wrinkles, because it inhibits the muscular contraction. So all these great little tidbits for summer fun. I'll tell you, I bought a pair of, I would consider them expensive sunglasses. Before I went, 2 weeks ago, I went on a Canadian fishing trip with high school buddies. Boy, was I glad I had those. They just made seeing and vision and everything so much more comfortable. So if your sunglasses are getting old, delaminating, if they're getting scratched up, yep, time to get a new pair. And you know what? You'll really enjoy that. And you'll say, that was a good purchase. But get a good, clear brand that you can see really well through, and you'll be glad you did.
Polarized or not polarized?
Well, I have a few different kinds of both. Now, polarized is great when you're on the water or you drive a lot during the day, because you'll get glare off of people's trunks or hoods or whatever from their cars or from the road. And from water and from skiing, which we don't think about now. If you go to South America, it's their skiing season, you know. So all those kind of places, you want to have polarized sunglasses, but not if you're golfing, not if you have to do a lot of work on your phone outside, because it messes up the clarity of the display and other LCD, LED displays. So you don't want polarized ones then. And people who wear these, they know that. They'll look at their displays and like, well, what the heck? That doesn't look right at all. What's going on here? Get the right ones for the situation. Make sure they're a very clear lens and not the cheaper plastic ones. Those, when you put them, you actually see significantly worse than without them. It's just darker.
Very true. Again, Dr. Craig McCabe in studio with us. If you have any questions for him, you can text us at 615-893-1450, or you can call the same number, 893-1450. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, Dr. McCabe will ask you a little bit about Botox, because I know you mentioned that for, you said, the crow's feet.
Yeah, absolutely.
Getting rid of some wrinkles. So we'll talk about that in just a second. You're listening to WGNS on this Monday morning.
Hi, this is Peter Demas. One of the things that we've done years ago is we've been able to do our orders, like our pastas and many other items, that we used to be able to put them in large pans, and now we have a catering team that will even deliver it to your home. We can drop it off for you, set it up, or they can come in and pick it up. Look up our catering menu on www.demasrestaurants.com. This is Peter Demas at Demas's Restaurant, 1115 Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro.
When is the right time to move to Adams Place?
I have enjoyed Adams Place much better than living in my house. After my wife passed away, what you're doing is you're getting people that you can interact with and have fun. Consider coming to Adams Place.
Hi, this is Terry Deal at Adams Place. Call me for more information about Adams Place. Phone 615-904-9111. Adams Place, across from Walmart.
Capstar is now a division of Old National Bank. You'll notice some changes as we complete the transition to Old National Bank. The Murphy Spread team that you know and trust at Capstar are always ready to serve you. We'll temporarily use Capstar Bank, a division of Old National Bank, until the transition's complete. As always, we're ready to serve you at Capstar Bank, a division of Old National Bank, member FDIC.
Hi, this is Gator with Tire World Off-Road. We are your local Rough Country dealer. So when you're ready to add some character to your rig, ask for Gator at Tire World Off-Road on Memorial Boulevard.
Tire World doesn't put discount in their name. They put it in your pocket.
Online at tireworld.us.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
You're tuned to WGNS, and our guest in studio is Dr. Craig McCabe, eye doctor. And I know we mentioned that just before that break, we're going to talk about Botox a little bit when we return. And we're back, but we do have another eye question here that we'll get to first. And it is asking, it says, I was wondering if the bags under my eyes are caused by constant straining of my eyes whenever I'm trying to see things far away.
Well, the wrinkles around your eyes most likely are. And the question is, why are you straining to see things? Do you just not like your glasses? Do you not have glasses?
It goes on to say, it says, I constantly squint, but don't want to wear glasses. It says, I don't want to wear glasses. I can't wear contacts because I have astigmatism in both eyes.
Yeah, so contacts, there are contacts made to correct astigmatism. So it's absolutely incorrect that you can't wear contacts because of astigmatism. There's all kinds of specialty contacts that correct the rarest forms of astigmatism in almost all cases. You know, it's time to go see someone that does contacts, and maybe you need to get a second opinion, I don't know. But you can get contacts for astigmatism, for nearsightedness, for farsightedness, for what's called presbyopia, which means you can't read as well as you used to anymore. You're past the age of 45. You know, you get contacts for all these things. And they work quite well as long as you have a good tear film. So the main reason why people cannot wear contacts is because they got a dry eye problem that hasn't been fixed. But you fix the dry eye problem and then you can wear contacts. Shouldn't be too difficult. If you need correction with the dry eye problem, that's something that we specialize in. Be happy to help you with that. Yeah, you should be able to get back into contacts.
It seems like dry eyes are another one of those things that you hear a lot, or you talk about a lot. Dry eyes really lead to a lot of problems or irritants.
Well, and that's because there are two surfaces in the eye that focus vision on the retina. The first one is the tear film, the air tear film interface on the surface of your cornea. The second one is the lens inside your eye that I've told you can become a cataract as we get older. Of that 100% of correction, 70% is done by the tear film. That's the majority there, not the lens inside the eye. That's only 30%. So if you've got a poor tear film like you get from a dry eye or other problems such as allergic conjunctivitis, any other kinds of inflammation, if you are on certain eye medications like glaucoma eye drops and others that can cause a dry eye problem, if you take certain pills that can cause a dry eye problem, these would be pain pills, antihistamines, blood pressure medicines that end in LOL, not LOL, but like metoprolol, propranolol, those are called beta blockers. They can cause a dry eye. Almost all the antidepressant medications cause a dry eye. And of course, diuretics, which take water out of your body. All those things can medically cause a dry eye. And then on top of that, when you're 60, you only make 60% of the tear film you did when you were 20. So your tear glands, your lacrimal glands, don't work as well. And then if you're female, after menopause, just due to hormonal effects, you commonly get a dry eye. And then there's surgically things. Maybe you've had LASIK surgery, that refractive surgery in the past. That's known to cause a dry eye. Yada, yada, right? Bunch of things. That's why we talk about it a lot, because so many people have it now because there's so many things that cause it. When I was a resident at Vanderbilt, and they were teaching me in ophthalmology what to do for people that had dry eye complaints. Now, granted, this was more than a couple decades ago. They gave the patient a bottle of tear drops that they got as a free sample from their drug reps, and they gave it to the patient. They said, hey, if this works for you, you can get more over the counter at any drugstore. You know, see the receptionist on your way out. That was it. Yeah. That was it. Now we know that this is so important. There's so many really good treatments for dry eye. One of them is controlling all those things we talked about before that can cause it. The second one is environmental things. So don't be near a fireplace. Don't sleep under a ceiling fan. Don't aim the car vents on your face, even though, God, it feels so good when it's so hot in that car and you get in, you want to blow right on your face. That causes a dry eye problem. All those other things cause a dry eye problem. So that's all that. Then you try the artificial teardrops. And if they don't work good enough, which they usually don't, they're just a temporary help. Symptomatic help doesn't treat the problem, treats the symptom. So to treat the problem, you've got to improve the oil gland function of the eyelids, because 70 to 75% of dry eye problems have oil gland deficiencies of some kind. We have good treatments for that. I'm not going to go into that, but you got to come into the office and we'll talk about it and what's right for you. Tear duct plugs, we do a lot of those at my office. They work extremely well. And there's three different types of plugs, stages 1, 2, 3, depending on what you need, upper and lower lids. You can find about the right amount that will give you about the right amount of moisture most days. And if you need more than that, you can have these other treatments. There are good things, and insurance pays for those, by the way. So there are good things that don't cost much that can help you with all these dry eye issues, help you see better. What are the symptoms of it? Well, you're on your computer and your eyes feel tired, strained, blurry. You got to sit back and rub your eyes for a while. Oh, that feels so good. Yeah, but it actually causes more problems. It releases these chemicals called cytokines, and cytokines are mean. They cause inflammation, red eyes, and actually make things worse. So although you squeeze out a little bit of moisture when you do that, these cytokines make it much worse. So don't do that. Instead, put an artificial teardrop. That might be one of the good takeaway points from today, besides just seeing your doctor for annual physicals, and see your eye doctor routinely as well.
That's right. And again, Botox is another option that you have to offer at McKay Vision Center. So if somebody has wrinkles, let's say on the corners of their eyes, you can do the Botox.
Yeah, most people don't know, but Botox was first started and used by eye doctors. Now it was to treat kids with lazy eyes, because they could help straighten out their eyes with it. But it wasn't permanent, so it didn't last long. And the surgery came about, and that fixed it. But it can be a temporary fix. But Botox also treats people that have blepharospasm. A lot of people have spasms of the orbicularis oculi muscle. This is the muscle that surrounds your eye, that squeezes it closed when you squeeze your eyes closed. But they have spasms in that muscle, so it's hard for them to open their eyes. And it's very uncomfortable and painful, and it decreases their vision and doesn't look good, and nobody wants it. So Botox is used great for that. There are people that have seventh nerve problems. There are people that have muscle spasms on half their face called hemifacial spasm. And they come in and they get Botox from us every 3 to 5 months. And all these things are made better with that, because it relaxes those muscles and spasm. I told you that muscles cause the wrinkles, and so Botox can help with that as well, and we're glad to help anyone with that.
Dr. Craig McCabe, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. And if you have any more eye questions over the next month, write them down, put it on the fridge, and we'll go over them next month. We do this the second Monday of each month at this time. Thanks so much for the questions. Thanks for listening. Have a safe and wonderful summer.
You've been listening to Dr. Craig McCabe with McCabe Vision Center. McCabe Vision Center is in Murfreesboro at 122 Heritage Park Drive. Their phone number, 615-904-9024. Or find McCabe Vision Center online at McCabeVisionCenter.com. That's McCabeVisionCenter.com.